The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The call of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me, What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north, I answered. The Lord said to me, From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declares the Lord. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgment on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshipping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the king of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Jeremiah lived in days of spiritual decline, in days when faith in the living God was burning low within the life of his nation. These opening verses tell us that he lived and preached through the years of the final few kings of Judah. Hundreds of years earlier, God had brought his people into the land of Canaan, into the promised land. He'd dwelt amongst them, first of all in the tabernacle and then in the temple. He'd taken them to be his special people. They were to show the world how good it was to have God as your God. But tragically, they kept on going astray, kept on giving their devotion to the gods of the nations round about. And then the kingdom split in two, Israel in the north, Judah in the south. The kings of the north, well, they were a disaster. They led their nation deeper and deeper into idolatry. God sent his prophets, but their warnings were ignored. And so about 100 years before Jeremiah, just as God had said, the Assyrians invaded, the northern kingdom was crushed, never to reappear. And Judah in the south was all that was left of God's people. Sadly, they didn't learn the lesson of their northern neighbours. And they too became more and more corrupt. They had some good kings, but the general trend was spiritual decline. increasingly unfaithful to the God who had chosen them as his treasured possession, the God who had brought them into this land to enjoy living under his rule and blessing. But now they were a shadow of what they were meant to be. Dark days of spiritual decline and apostasy. Perhaps we already begin to feel the relevance of this book. We live in days of spiritual decline. Church attendance falling across the country. A society where secularism increasingly holds sway. Where God talk is no longer allowed in the public square. It's not so long ago that faced with a pandemic like this, that the Prime Minister of the day would have called for a national day of prayer. But that's can hardly even imagine that, can you? Days of spiritual decline. But in these dark days, we are told that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. There he was, living a quiet, unknown life, son of a prophet in Anathoth, a little town a few miles outside Jerusalem, when suddenly the word of the Lord comes to him. God takes the initiative. God speaks his word into the life of the nation. So even in times of spiritual decline, God has not lost the plot. He has not abandoned his people. He's not washed his hands of them, even though they had repeatedly turned away from him. Verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So actually, Jeremiah's task is going to be bigger than just Judah. His message will be for the nations. Here is the first hint of something beyond those twilight years of the people of Judah. And clearly, Jeremiah is not self-appointed. He didn't saunter down to the job centre and say, I'd rather like to be a prophet. This was God's initiative. Jeremiah tries to get out of it, doesn't he? Oh, sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. But God says, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. That's the story of the book. It is about the word of God going out, being transmitted through Jeremiah. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah doesn't feel up to it. He thinks that he can't speak. God's answer, I am with you. So Jeremiah, don't say that you can't speak. Don't say that you're too young. I am with you. In the Bible, God never says to someone, actually, you really are rather good. I think you would make a jolly good prophet. You can do it. No, rather, I am with you. You feel weak and inadequate. I am with you. End of discussion. And then verse 9, the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I've put my words in your mouth. See today, and here's the theme sentence of Jeremiah, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And here's where we're going this morning. God's word is active, even in times of spiritual decline. That's the next slide there, please. In verse 9, God says something, and in verse 10, God does something. Those two go together. Always in the Bible, it's through what God says that he acts. God spoke the universe into being. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Jesus spoke new life into being. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life, said Jesus. It's through God's word that he will uproot and tear down. He will destroy and overthrow. He will build and plant. God's word is active even in times of spiritual decline, even when it is opposed. Let's quickly get a flavor of how things were for Jeremiah. Just turn over to chapter 8, verse 21. Chapter 8, verse 21, we see him struck with grief because his message was so grim. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead, no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. Overwhelming grief. It is against his own countrymen that he must preach. Jeremiah feels isolation too. He is alone for much of his ministry. Turn over to chapter 15 and verse 17. Chapter 15, 17. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me and you'd filled me with indignation. His sober message meant that he was in no mood for parties. And Jeremiah faced physical persecution. On to chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 1. When the priest Pashur, son of Immer, the chief officer in the temple of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in the stocks. Literally, the twisting frame. His body twisted out of joint for preaching a message that they did not want to hear. He is the son of a priest. Well, this is the high priest who's ordered him to be on the rack. There would be death threats too. Chapter 26 and verse 8. As soon as Jeremiah finished telling all the people everything the Lord had commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him and said, "You must die. Why do you prophesy to the Lord's in the Lord's name that this house, this temple, will be like Shiloh, and this city will be desolate and deserted?" And all the people crowded around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. The death threats continue in verse 11 and verse 14 of that chapter. On another occasion, he had his scrolls burnt by the king. That's chapter 36. God had told him to write down all his messages. But when they were read to the king, he sliced them off bit by bit and threw them into the fire. We don't want any of that, Jeremiah. Chapter 37, a different king put him in prison. Chapter 38, he was thrown into a cistern, a water tank. Some said that he should be put to death. The king said, "He's in your hands." They lowered him into an empty cistern and he sank deep into the mud. Here he is, struck down with grief. He's marginalized and ignored and isolated. He is physically abused. But through it all, chapter 1, God's word is active. God's word is active even when opposed. By whom? Well, especially the leaders. Verse 18 of chapter 1. Today I've made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall, to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. He'll be opposed by the government, by the church, by the media, even the man on the street. Every layer of society is going to hate him for this. But, says God, I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall to stand against the whole land. I will defend you. I will strengthen you in the midst of your weakness to persevere in the face of opposition. Verse 19. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you. Even in the face of opposition, my words will prevail. Here is Jeremiah being given a message that will be no fun to preach, given a commission that is very, very heavy. And yet his words are true and will come true. I put my words in your mouth, says God. Words to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow. And yes, when the time comes, to build and to plant. And so in verse 13, Jeremiah sees a boiling pot tilting away from the north, tilting towards the south, tilting in their direction. And the Lord explains, verse 14, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdom. Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against her surrounding walls and against the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, burning incense to other gods, and in worshipping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. That would be the burden of Jeremiah's message, prophesying the fall of the city, the destruction of the temple because of their idolatry, because they've turned away to other gods. And Jeremiah was right. He was vindicated by history. His message proved true. When the Babylonians came sweeping in 30 and then again 40 years later, the word of God did not fail. There's a hint here of that already, actually, in verse 11. Jeremiah sees the branch of an almond tree. And the Lord says, verse 12, you've seen correctly, for I am watching to see my word fulfilled. Or as another version puts it, I am watching over my word to perform it. As the little footnote tells us, there is a play on words that doesn't work in English. The Hebrew for almond sounds like the word watching. Every time you see the almond blossom, Jeremiah, remember, I am watching over my word to perform it. It will happen. I understand the almond blossom is the first to appear. Each year I look forward to the snowdrops at the bottom of our lime tree. It tells me that spring is on the way. Well, each year of Jeremiah's long, lengthy ministry, here would be a reminder. God says, I'm watching to see my word come true. God's word is active, even in times of spiritual decline. God says judgment, and it is coming. God says hope, we'll have to wait a bit for that, and it is coming. I have sent you to uproot and tear down, to build and to plant. That is to be the order of things. It needs to be raised to the ground before I can build. Build what will become a glorious new kingdom. The house across the road is having an extension at the moment. But they began by bringing in the bulldozer to demolish the garage that was already there. We'll see both of those in Jeremiah. But first, it's a message of gloom. Warnings of judgment that will clear the ground for what is to come. It makes all the difference in times of decline to know that God still rules. It makes all the difference in times of widespread unfaithfulness to know that God's word still succeeds. In times of revival, you don't need to be told that God's word is powerful. Imagine living through the Welsh revival in the early 1900s, when the churches were packed and the pubs were empty, when there were crowds of people trying to get into the churches. In a time of revival, you don't need to be told that God's word is powerful. It's obvious. But in times of decline, that's when we begin to wonder whether perhaps God is not in control. Imagine a time when the government is opposed to biblical ethics, what the Bible says about marriage, for example, as it did in Jeremiah's day, but equally today. A time when the church largely tells people what they want to hear, and where the lone voice calling for repentance is dismissed as extreme and negative. Jeremiah's day, but equally today. Imagine a time when the man in the street is indifferent to the words of the prophet, when it's treated as a laugh and a joke. These days, whenever there's a vicar in a TV drama, it's always a figure of fun. A blundering idiot. The whole thing is just a joke. Treated as it was in Jeremiah's day. And in that context, to be told this is not that God is out of control. Rather, this is what God said would happen. This is his word of promised judgment. You hear people say or imply, oh, poor God. It would be nice if the Church of England was doing better, but it's in a mess. It's had its day. Poor God. But what if God has said the church will go into decline if it abandons me and my word? Not poor God, but successful God, vindicated God. Poor God, Britain isn't very spiritual these days. We've come of age. Poor God. What if God says that his discipline would come upon a nation that abandoned him? Not poor God, but vindicated God. And we need to know that more than ever in a context of spiritual decline. God says to Jeremiah, I have put my words in your mouth. I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and to overthrow. Now, I'm not suggesting that I or any other preacher today is Jeremiah. We don't have a hotline from God saying, this is my judgment. But just as the word of God came to Jeremiah, so we are able to go to the word of God here in this book. And it is a word that doesn't just say things, but will do things. God says, I am watching over my word to perform it. And it is a word which is as much fulfilled in judgment as it is in salvation. Sometimes it will be to uproot and tear down. Other times it will be to build and to plant. This book of Jeremiah will be a book about both. Judgment first. And these were not easy words for him to speak. And they may not be easy words for us to hear. They are a word which will succeed. God's word is active, whether in salvation or in judgment. Whether softening hearts or hardening them. Whether we see the church declining, as here in the UK, or whether expanding enormously, as in China. God's word is sovereign. God's word is active, both ways round. Here is God saying to Jeremiah, right at the outset, your words will succeed. I am making you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall to stand against the whole land. My word will prevail. Well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this prophet Jeremiah. Thank you that he was faithful to the task you gave him. Much as it terrified him and brought him great anguish. Thank you that history vindicates his ministry, that your word came true, that you were in control even through the decline of Judah, just as you are in control over our nation, over this world, over your church. And thank you that your word is true and will accomplish your purposes, both when there is revival and when there is decline. Help us, Lord, to take comfort in this, to trust you, to find our hope in all that you have promised through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.